This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Bemidji State University and Northwest Technical College. The Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast is also sponsored by Visit Bemidji and Grand Haven Campground. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors covers the lakes, woods, trails, wildlife, and anything else going on outdoors in Paul Bunyan's playground.
Hi, I'm Dick Beardsley with Dick Beardsley Fishing Guide Service. I'd like to invite you to drop a line in one of the 400 lakes in the Bemidji area. We have 160 miles of biking trails, forest trails, campsites. You can even get your picture with Paul Bunyan and Babe His Blue Ox. And when your adventures are done, we have some of the best eateries that Minnesota has to offer. Plus, much, much more. And don't forget to check us out at the Minnesota State Fair in the Education Building. Bemidji, one step further.
Coming up today on the big show, we check in with Garrett Haglund and talk bass fishing in the Brainerd Lakes area. Plus, it's Lake of the Week Day, and we head over to Park Rapids to check out a couple of small gems. It's all coming up on Fishing Paul Bunyan Country. This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored in part by Bemidji State University. You can pursue your passions with a world-class education in the heart of Minnesota's Northwoods. The drive to acquire deeper knowledge and develop greater wisdom is already in your nature. So join us on the shores of Lake Bemidji. Minnesota's premier Northwoods University can help you make the world a better place than you found it. Learn more at bemidjistate.edu and schedule a tour today. bemidjistate.edu.
This is Brohl reminding you that the coolest people are on Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, and Kevin Jackson, too.
Well, today on Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, we are going to talk with Garrett Haglund out of the Brainerd Lakes area. Actually, are you in Pequot Lakes, Garrett?
I sure am. Thanks, Kevin, for having me. Yeah, Pequot is home, and I love it there.
All right, you got to explain something to me, because I've looked up and down the map. I cannot find a Pequot Lake anywhere. So how in the heck did it get that name?
I don't know how the town got its name. I know it's known as the Bobber Town. If you look in town and drive through, I mean, you really can't miss it. The water towers are in the shape of a bobber, painted that way. So it's pretty great. But I don't know how it actually got its name. Now I'm going to have to go look that up just because you said it.
Okay. Report back to me next time. So, Garrett, obviously, that whole area, you know, is just loaded with a lot of lakes. And we don't talk a lot about the Pequot Lakes area. We're always talking about Brainerd Lakes. What are some of the unique waters over in the Pequot Lakes area that you particularly like?
Yeah, well, the whitefish chain just offers so many opportunities out there for a lot of different species of fishing. Me and myself, I focus on the bass fishing this time of year. I always have a panfish rod with me, though, on the deck. A lot of the times when I'm cruising weed lines and stuff like that, I'll run into a pot of bluegills or crappies or something and pluck a few for dinner every once in a while. I call that my grocery shopping sometimes. But it's the whitefish chain, again, it's kind of that number one in the area anyway for a diversity of fish and fishing styles. So you've got the main whitefish lake there. There's big trout, Cass Lake, clamshell, all of the little lakes that kind of connect together there for really some great fishing all times of the year on the ice or open water now, of course. But then also just a lot of great boating opportunities, too. There's some really, really nice places out there that are really... The architecture is just fantastic out there. Really neat to see you, but there's some nice shallow channels out there too that seems to be a nonstop, constant parade, which is just, it's kind of fun. It's a fun atmosphere out there, but that's really one of the best lakes to be fishing there for fishing opportunities. Besides the chain, there are plenty others as well. We've got the Gull Lake chain, another very popular chain of lakes that kind of spans from the southern part of Pequot all the way down towards Baxter. That's a very famous one. Of course, there's a lot of great tournaments out there, and really just some solid fishing and tourist attractions at the same time. You also have the Cullen chain of lakes. There's upper, middle, and lower. Also great. One of my local favorites anyways for bass fishing. A lot of fish. I call it a batting practice lake. If you've got a tournament the next day, I'll go to a batting practice lake just to get some hook sets in and get that mindset going on. So just a fun body of water for sure. But besides kind of those three areas and then a bunch of others, there's so many lakes within, 10, 15 minutes of driving distance from Pequot Lakes that really is one of the main reasons why I wanted to live just north of Baxter. There's just, like I said, there's just a lot of opportunity. You go in any which way direction, and you'll land in water somewhere.
You know, and it doesn't matter what you like to fish for. You got great walleye waters there. You got musky waters there. You got, as you noted, panfish, northerns, and, of course, tons and tons and tons of bass lakes.
Right, yes. The Gulf Chain is one of those lakes that it's known for bass fishing. And aside from its fantastic walleye fishing as well. You'll see a lot of different tournament trails out there. I know the Champions Tour will be out there this year, and we're expecting a lot out of that lake this year.
Well, Garrett, I know we I tried to get you on a while ago, and you said, I just haven't had time to fish, but it looks like you got a little fishing in the last couple of weeks. I've been seeing some really, really nice bass pictures from you.
You bet. Yeah, life as you know it is just that summer schedule is so busy.
Yes.
And as we chatted before, we've got weddings going on and all kinds of different things, other events across the nation. That's kind of encapsulated some of my time this year, but I do get out as much as I can, even if I have to fight for it. And it's been good. It's been really good fishing. For myself, largely targeting, the largemouth and smallmouth bass, stuff like that, but definitely running into a few straggler walleyes and pike and the occasional bluegills and crappies too. But it's been really solid fishing. The water temperatures are in that upper 70s range, 76, 77, something like that. And it's fairly easy to target fish this time of year. You can eliminate a lot of different water because, at least for bass fishing, a lot of your fish, the vast majority of them, are going to be out towards that deep water. They're going to have be suspended in the deep water, roaming and chasing bait fish out in the deep, or they're going to be using those deep, steep weed lines and pushing bait fish up against those weed lines or in the weeds, kind of that tall cabbage, and around the coontail and stuff, chasing bluegills out there. So drop shot, Ned rig, Texas rigging, a worm, throwing a jig, of course, is always a tried and true lure to use. There's so many ways to catch them this time of the year, and it's just a great time to fish them. If you're not finding them out deep when they're out chasing the bait fish and stuff like that, you can still find a good number of fish up shallow, especially towards the evening years or hours of the day when you get a nice, calm summer evening. There's nothing better than I like to do than throw a frog in the reeds and rip out some nice fish that way. That's such a good time. But in a midday pattern, if you're not finding fish out deep again, look for any kind of cover. It could be your lily pads, heavy reeds, and other types of vegetation. Like I said before, ripping a jig through that tall standing cabbage is another good way to do it, or go dock fishing. The best kind of docks are the ones that are going to be on the main body of water, kind of the big part of the lake, and throw a wacky worm. It's just another tried and true thing. Those fish are looking to get out of the sun just as you are, and And that's where you can find them a lot of the times. So there's, like I said, just a lot of really great fishing in the Pequot Lakes area.
I was just talking to Sam and Joe from Northland Tackle, and they were noting that at least up here, the bass bite seemed to be a little unusual and lag a little bit from years past. What did you find down there?
Okay, yeah, and I would say that's probably true. I was up fishing in that area not too long, and I know congrats to Sam and crew for winning the tournament this past weekend, at least the bass division. That's super cool. Great tournament to fish. It certainly was an unusual year. It seems like they're definitely now settled to that normal summer pattern anyways for now. But it was a slow start, and it took a while to get there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we had that cold spring that really held on for quite a long time, and it just pushed the entire the entire cycle back quite a bit. And so it was unusual, and you just kind of had to figure it out, as they say. You know, find the fish. What are they doing that day? And whatever they're doing one day doesn't mean they're going to be doing it the next. So that that time in between the spawn and their summer patterns now, it can be real tough trying to find those fish at times.
On the other hand, we had a longer walleye bite than usual as well, so that kind of made up for it for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one thing that was very nice, is the longer walleye bite. There's nothing better that I like to do than rip a jig and a minnow for walleye at times, and the springtime, there's no better time to do it. Now you're going to be, you're going to be doing some trolling, doing some like butterfly rigs with from Northland Fishing Tackle. They've got a great rig for that. One thing that I like to do just to tweak some of those rigs is put on it's a slow death hook. You thread the worm all the way on it. It's got a kink in the hook, and it whips that worm around so much more than a regular crawler harness does. So that's just one thing that I like to do. But this time of year, you're doing more of your trolling techniques or slip bobber rigs. That's always a good option yet too. But when you're covering water, definitely still be trying out those jigging wraps and puppet minnows and other casting baits, stuff like that, to locate fish. You can cover more water that way. But once you kind of find a pot of fish, either throwing those search baits or using your mega sight imaging, then you can get on top of them with a slip bobber and just rig a leech on there and a plain hook, simple as that, and go to town that way. It's a great way to do it.
Okay. It's a fun fish to catch. I mean, if you've never bass fished before, it's funny how many people, when they first go out bass fishing, it doesn't take long and they're kind of addicted to it because they're fun. They just are flat out fun.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And I think one of the things for me when it comes to bass fishing and why I enjoy it so much is just because there are so many different ways you can catch them. I joke with people that come into my boat for the first time that I dang near got a Cabela store in the boat, just a wide variety of different things to be catching fish with. And, you know, there's always your tried and true techniques and your favorites, of course, but there's a lot of new things that come out each and every year, which are just a heck of a lot of fun to try and build some confidence on, for sure. So this time of the year, for me, one of the techniques that's I'm most confident in is your drop shot fishing. It's just a great time pulling those fish out of the weeds, the shallow cabbage or from the depths. No matter where you're fishing, a drop shot rig is very good way to go.
We have much more to cover with Garrett Hagelin later on in the show, but up next, we head over to the Park Rapids area for the Lake of the Week.
I'm Bruce Jean at Rainy Lake Guiding. I always like to give to those in need. That's why I'm on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, because we all know Kev Jackson is sure in need of knowledge.
If you're ready to write the next chapter of your life and love the outdoors, Northwest Technical College might be the perfect fit. Northwest Technical College in Bemidji has state-of-the-art technical education and 6 career paths in the heart of the Northwoods. Automotive, building trades, business, health, childcare, and manufacturing technology. We're surrounded by more than 400 lakes and acres of forests. You can be fishing, you can be hunting, and you can be plotting the course of your life all at the same place. The shortest path to your dream job begins at Northwest Technical College, Bemidji's Technical College. Learn more today. Visit ntcmn.edu.
I'm Chuck Hassey, Leisure Outdoor Adventures, and you're listening to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country.
Lake of the weekday, lake of the weekday, lake of the weekday, holy cow!
It's Lake of the Weekday, and we are checking in with Kyle Little. He's a fisheries technician out of the Park Rapids Area Fisheries Office. First of all, Kyle, thanks for being here today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
We're going to talk about a couple of lakes that are actually quite small and not very far apart. The first of them is Nagel, and the second will be Mau. So in general, whereabouts in your area are those lakes?
From Park Rapids, they're going to be to the southeast towards Bedora, or not very, about a mile from the Bedora Nursery down there. Come from Bemidji, it'd be head south on 200 to 64 in Akeley, and then it's about 10 miles south of Akeley. And just east, or just west on 87, about 3/4 mile, you turn north onto Cougar Drive, and they're up that road less than a half a mile.
And they're both carry-in accesses, so that's, with the DNR, it's usually a concrete one, but these must be in the deep dark woods.
Yeah, Nagel actually has posts that will keep you from, like, backing in a bigger boat. It's something you're going to have to carry in a small boat, maybe a canoe with a trolling motor, or just something to paddle around. Mau is more of an undeveloped access, and last time I was there, it was kind of rough-looking gravel getting down over a hill, and, you know, you're going to have to take some work or carry in a canoe down there or something like that.
So these are I'm guessing, fairly undeveloped lakes?
Yeah. When we surveyed Nagel in 2015, we only counted 12 houses on the shoreline, and then in 2005 when they surveyed Mau Lake, there was 23 houses and cabins along the lake, so not very heavily developed.
Okay, so if you're looking for one of those kind of quiet, out of the way, back to nature type experiences, those are pretty good options.
Yeah, I think you could spend a day down there. You're not going to have a lot of other people around the lake, just something to explore and have for yourself, and it's not going to be motors that are running around. It's going to be pretty peaceful.
I take a look, you know, at the fish in both lakes. Very similar fisheries. A lot of the things you would expect in smaller lakes in northern Minnesota. There's some crappies, there's some bluegills, there's some bass, there's some northerns.
Yep. So a lot of your generally smaller sunfish you could pick through and find something better. Crappies, low numbers, but once again, our gears aren't going to sample those the best. There's a lot of habitat we don't cover in that 4 to 10 foot range where they might be hanging out. Smaller pike, 20 inches and under for most of them, but sometimes you'll find them up, I think in Nagel we had them over 25 inch, and the last time Mau was surveyed, up close to that 30 inch. Bass will be fairly abundant. Size will vary a little bit, but most of the fish we've sampled have been 12 to 16 inch range. There are some carp into Nagel when we were in their survey, and we didn't capture them, but I remember seeing them in the bulrushes and some of the residents talking to us about seeing carp in the lake and trying to get some of them out.
You know, if you happen to stumble into walleye, it's going to be by accident, it looks like.
Yeah. Nagel was stocked not that long ago in 98 and 2002. That was from a private stocking. But it's also been stocked with fry from like 1948 to the mid 1960s. It's had some fry stock. There's been some fingerlings over the years, or other ways walleyes have gotten in there.
My guess is you do not see a ton of activity on that lake.
No, when we were surveying out there, the most common traffic we had was people just stopping out to see what we're doing and how the survey was going. Maybe one or two other anglers.
Again, it's not, you know, if you're a serious angler and you're out there, you want to get a lot of big fish and you want tons and tons of action and, you know, big, you know, photos that make you look good. This may not be the lake to go to, but if you want a relaxing day, you got kids in the boat and you just want the rod to bend, both of those lakes would be pretty good choices.
Oh, yeah. They'd be somewhere to just go have that peaceful day, take your kid out, have some time with them, and just go have fun. That's what fishing's about.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think one of the things I always like when I'm out there is, you know, when you see the turtles swimming by and ducks and loons and, you know, stuff on the shoreline and nice, quiet, peaceful lakes like that, you'd probably get a little more of that kind of activity.
Yep. There's some forestry land at the access of Nagel. It's actually got kind of a sandier beach area where you come down, so you could hang out a little bit and float around and bring the family or do anything like that.
Again, you say there's not a lot of activity there, so I'm guessing in your area tends to be really good at this anyway. I'm guessing we don't have any AIS issues on those lakes?
None that we're aware of. The only thing is that there is carp, and they probably came up through the Crow Wing River and Shell River systems, because Bender Creek coming out of Nagel and Trip Lakes flows down into First Crow Wing, so anything in those Crow Wing chains could move up eventually.
Anything else we should know about those lakes?
When we did Nagel, it's kind of a different thing that we look at is the oxygen readings. In 2015, we had an extremely high oxygen rate of 19 parts per million at 15 feet. Other lakes in the area that people may know is Blue Lake. In 2017, we surveyed that at 11 parts per million at 15 feet. And the oxygen was good the first week of July, all the way down to 38 feet in both lakes. But that's extremely high dissolved oxygen reading in Nagel. So it's kind of unique.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It provides habitat throughout the water column for fish. It's just uniquely high. I don't know what did it, but it's just something that stood out to me and what I remembered.
All right. Again, if people are curious for a getaway lake or two, Nagel and Mau are good options out of the Park Rapids Area Fisheries Office. Kyle, one more time, the general way we can find our way there.
From Bemidji or Park Rapids, if you from Park Rapids head east to Akeley, or from Bemidji head down 64, get to Akeley, and then it's 10 miles south of Akeley, and you would take a right onto Highway 87, and it's about 3/4 mile. You'll get to Cougar Drive. Head north, and there would be a half a mile to the access to the trail that leads off to Nagel, and about 500 feet up the road, you'll take the trail that leads into the Mau Lake access.
All right. Sounds like a couple of cool places I need to check out before it's all said and done for me. Kyle Little is a fisheries technician out of the Park Rapids Area Fisheries Office, sharing a couple of lakes of the week, Nagel and Mau. Kyle, great having you on the show today. Thanks for taking the time.
Yep, thank you.
When we come back, we check back in with Garrett Hagelin of Pequot Lakes and talk Brainerd area fishing.
Hi, this is Chuck Hassey on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, doing my part to keep Kev Jackson employed for another year.
When planning your trip up north, plan to park your RV or camper at the spacious Grand Haven RV Campground in Bemidji. You'll be in the perfect area to ride ATV, fish, hunt, and hike. With free parking for your boats and trailers and located just off Highway 2 west of Bemidji, Grand Haven Campground is the center point for your next Northland adventure. Fish hundreds of surrounding lakes and cruising the miles and miles of the ATV trails northern Minnesota has to offer. Visit GrandHavenCampground.com and book your stay today.
This is Dick Beardsley, and this is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Garrett Hagelin, my guest today, talking about the Brainerd Lakes area fishing scene. Garrett, well, you're going to go out golfing this weekend. You said you're not much of a golfer, but I have a golfing analogy for you.
Right, sounds good.
So it seems to me that bass fishing is like Happy Gilmore, you know, just slamming that driver. Just a fight, just a battle, just, you know, power. And walleye fishing is like the short game. Needs a lot of finesse, a lot of touch. Both are challenges. Both are very fun in their own right, but very different.
Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's there's maybe a little bit more action, or it's a little more dramatic in the bass fishing as you're setting hooks, and especially topwater fishing. If you know, the hookup percentage isn't always that great at times. So your lure could be flying on the other side of the boat before you know it. and you might need to get out of the way. It happens all the time, but it's a good way to put it. Yeah. a little more finesse, maybe, in the walleye fishing.
I guess that's what makes Minnesota, Minnesota, right? You've got these options and these different fish to go after and different experiences.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, listen, you mentioned some things, but anything out there, brand new stuff that you're trying out that you're really liking right now?
You know, there's some different baits out there that's been working out really well. And just different equipment that's been working really well. One thing for me, recently, Tuned Up Custom Rods has begun to offer a new grip style on their rods. They're 7.6 medium heavy Apex Pro with this, it's not an EVA foam, but it's a grip. I'm forgetting exactly what they call it, but it's a black grip. If you go onto my social medias and check out some of the latest pictures that I've been posting, I've been using these rods with this new grip style, and it's probably the most comfortable rod I've ever used now. It's just super, super, the action is incredible, but the grip style now on it is extremely comfortable, and I find that I can make a little bit more different precision casts and stuff with that grip, as silly as it sounds, but I just, It doesn't quite slip out of the hands as much anymore with some of the straight cork. It's easy to clean and maintain. It just looks great all around. So that's really been super awesome for me this year. And another bait, anyway, from Northern Fishing Tackle is their new frog line that they just came out with. Super fun to use. Been throwing those like crazy this year. Again, just towards those evening hours, and dragging them over lily pads or throwing them through the weeds. They've really been producing some nice fish. I know my wife and I were just out, I think it was last week or so, a night after work, which was very nice, a great way to end the night. And she was hauling in fish left and right for me, and I was just like, what the heck is going on back there? So I had switched to a frog, and lo and behold, we both started whacking on them, and she was pulling in nice 4.5 to 5 pound largemouth. It was just a really great time. So those new frogs from Northern Fishing Tackle have really been putting a lot of fish on the deck for me this year. But with iCast, that recently just happened too. It was really cool to see some of those new baits come out, and looking forward to checking out a few of the other options out there too.
Well, one of the hot and heavy topics this week is LiveScope, because the PMTT decided they were going to ban LiveScope for the rest of the muskie tournament season. Have you used a lot of LiveScope? What do you think?
Right. Yeah, I did see that, and it's disappointing that they would do that in the middle of the season. That's just like just changing the rules as you go. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. In my opinion, you can have all the bells and whistles, the fanciest boat, all the live scope, all of that good stuff, and that does not make you a better fisherman. Yes, you're going to learn more a lot with it. Arguably, like I said, you're going to learn a lot more for it. You're going to see the fish more and be able to pinpoint them a lot quicker, but ultimately those fish still have to bite. You know, you still need to be being smart with that equipment. So I do use LiveScope right now. I have that on the boat, and I use it in the wintertime and stuff too. It does dramatically reduce the amount of time it takes to go find the fish. It's much easier to get in front of those fish too and make those precise casts or drill that precise hole in the ice. But in my opinion, I wouldn't go as far as banning that from tournaments. That's, okay. Again, just my opinion.
Well, there's definitely a lot of opinions out there right now, and there's no question about that.
Yeah, I guess there is. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen, if we're going to go out fishing this weekend, what do we need to have in the boat, and where on the lake should we be hanging out?
If you're going to go out fishing this weekend, which it sounds like it's going to be a really great weekend for it weather-wise, definitely bring those some of those deeper search baits. If you're looking for bass in particular, again, rig up that drop shot. It's an incredible rig to use and one to build some confidence with for sure, but it really is a versatile rig, and not even just for largemouth or smallmouth, but you will get bit quite often with pike or walleye and even bluegills and crappies. So they'll go ahead and pick that up too if you're throwing it up towards the cabbage, stuff like that. But drop shot is a great way to go. Otherwise, use your bobber rigs and trolling, your crawler harnesses, stuff like that for walleyes too. But particularly the certain areas you want to be hanging around is those main lake points, main lake weed edges, or just other bridge areas and stuff too for fish. So anywhere, as you can imagine, there to be a underwater highway for fish to be traveling around, that's where you're going to want to be. This time of the year, they're hanging out towards that deeper water just because it is cooler. The water temperatures don't fluctuate as much. It's just going to end up producing a lot more fish for you in the end. So, but when in doubt, dock it out, I say sometimes, and you can find some fish on some of those deeper docks and stuff too. So, like I said, a lot of different ways to catch them this time of year, and it can be a lot of fun.
Well, Garrett, before we wrap it up, we got to put you through another Fast Five.
All right, I'm ready.
Fast Five.
Who's with me?
Okay, here we go. Question number one. What is your favorite way to catch bass?
Well, like I said, drop shot. Mm-hmm. Probably my favorite way. Absolutely.
Question number two. What is the first fish you ever caught, and how old were you?
First fish I ever caught was a walleye. My mom and dad definitely brought me up in the walleye fishing world, and that was I'm going to say 4 or 5 years old, somewhere right around there, to where I could just start holding the rod for myself and reeling for myself and all of that. So right around that age.
Do you remember what lake it would have been on?
It was North Long Lake.
Okay.
Right here in Merrifield, yeah.
All right, question number three. What was your favorite subject in school?
Oof, good one. you know, as odd as it sounds, English was probably one of my favorites. It came more naturally to me than a lot of the other subjects. But, yeah, that was probably one of my favorites.
All right, question number four. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, you already know, Cap, it's Star Wars. I grew up with Star Wars, and it's one of those greatest things that can ever live die. So it's just a great series.
Okay, and now question number five. Alabama or AC/DC?
Oh, another good, tough choice. You know, I'd probably have to say AC/DC this time, although Alabama is a great band, too. Hard to pass those guys up. Great music.
All right. But if you're driving down the road and you want to turn it up loud, it's AC/DC?
You bet. Yep. Absolutely.
All right, Garrett, if people want to keep up with you on social, you mentioned social, where do we find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Garrett Higlin Outdoors on Instagram or Facebook. Twitter a little bit too, a dabble in there, but definitely give me a shout if you have any questions. You know, what are the fish up to, what kind of line to use, certain knots to use, all kinds of different stuff like that. So don't be a stranger, feel free to reach out, always happy to help.
All right, he's Garrett Hagelin joining us on the show today. Great to have you on, Garrett. Have a good weekend at the wedding, good luck on the golf course, and I don't need to give you good luck, I know you're going to catch fish next time you're out there.
Thanks, Kev. Have a good one.
That's it for today. I'm Kev Jackson. Thank you for being here. Don't forget to join us tomorrow when we check in with the Lukens Village Foods United Way Fishing Tournament Bass Champions for the second time in the last 3 years, Sam Larson and Joe Oman. This has been the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. sponsored by Visit Bemidji and Grand Haven Campground. The Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast is also sponsored by Bemidji State University and Northwest Technical College. And don't forget, you can listen to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country on KB 101 FM and KBUN Sports Radio 104.5 weekdays, as well as Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Saturday mornings on KBUN Sports Radio 104.5, B93.3 in Brainerd-Baxter, and Kick FM in Alexandria.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.